This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
Off the ball breakfast.
Leinster. The atmosphere in terms of rugby, in terms of football, I think is chalk and cheese.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yeah!
Amram damaged TV and dressing room rant. This is a story which I think was on The Athletic first. It's everywhere this morning. Furious manager let fly at his players after Brighton defeat. Portuguese set to air troubles again ahead of Rangers clash. The Battle of Britain is about to begin.
It's good to see the leaks have stopped anyway.
The screen is understood to have been used to show players clips of the game, edited by analysts. I don't know how exactly. Either kicked out, directly or otherwise. It would need to be like a flying hitch kick onto the wah, kung fu style to break it on the wall. Or it's a Ferguson kick boot hit face.
Yeah, he could have just punched it or something. It wouldn't take much. Like, we don't know. It's not like it fell off the wall or he pulled it off the wall.
So this is the typical football fan Rorschach test. Like, oh, passion, yes. Or, oh, madman, losing it already. There's never an in-between.
Yeah, I'd be more concerned about the fact it got out than it was done. I'd say that stuff happens all the time, to
That's
be fair.
True. A number of sources who wish to remain anonymous. That's the worrying paragraph, isn't it? And also there's a tag to that story, which is the players are reportedly worried that Amram will run out of energy.
It seems like
passion project of his.
Full of energy, you know? A lot of energy in the room about this. Ruben, I see there's a lot of energy in the room in the counselling session. Is there anything you'd like to get off your chest? Yeah, this team is shit. Well, I hate them. But how did I get stuck doing this?
He's a very healthy approach to his own mentality and emotions, isn't he? Because he pretty much says what's on his mind in a quite jovial way. But I didn't see the angry side of him coming, you know? I can't really picture unadulterated rage that he has, because Amram's preferred approach after a game is to say nothing, regardless of the result. Just let it hang. Because there's nothing you can say logically in that moment that can wait for the next day. But the Brighton game was different. And what was the reason for his anger and his vitriol, Ger?
Specifically?
Yes.
Oh, do we know?
Well, he said it afterwards, and reportedly it was because it was very much to do with tactics, that the players are all over the place. They took up their own positions. And he did say that categorically afterwards. That won't happen again, where players are all over the shop. I think he was specifically talking about the third goal, which is highlighted by Andre Onana's mistake. But if you actually look back, everyone's out of position. And that's what he hates about it.
Yes.
System Geiger.
Similar to what Unai Emery was saying after Aston Villa's defeat last night. He was blaming the players. Sitting pretty, it's a picture of four of the Liverpool players celebrating after the first goal last night. Liverpool sealed qualification as Mo and Harvey light up Anfield. So they'll be able to rest for the final game. Although, you know, if Klopp was there, he'd pick his full team, obviously. Cause,
at one time.
And they'll also be able to rest when the rest of Europe is knocking lumps out of each other, because they're through to the last eight. It's a good situation for Liverpool to be in. This bit where we're like, oh, it's going to define the season. Well, the season's over, right? It's going to be a disappointment now for them if they don't win the Champions League and the league. Ratchet up those stakes.
It gives them more wiggle room with the Champions League. But you're still having to go through four rounds of games. Like,
is it being mildly facetious?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, that's all right.
The league is done and dusted after the weekend.
Catch your tone,
right?
That's one thing that you could argue that Liverpool have borrowed off Manchester United is this new trend of celebration. We're sitting on the advertising boards. I believe it was the three young lads at United did that first last season.
Yeah.
Maynou, Garnacho, Hoyland. And now Salah's brought it in this season. Salah's a whole new look, like the shaved head, the arrow celebration, which I think he stopped doing now. And this is his new one sitting on the advertising boards. He's joined there by, who's that? Darwin Nunez, Curtis Jones and Luis Diaz.
Rashford's Barca chat as Chelsea push for Garnacho. So
Why do Chelsea want another wide player?
At some point, because it's obviously part of their system, and also it's a young player who they think they're going to get more value for.
They have Sancho, Neto, Madueke.
Amortize over 10 years, but they don't have Sancho, really. Like,
they can have Sancho.
They don't own him.
They can have him.
They won't, though. They're not stupid. Oh, I mean, but it's 50-50 whether or not they're stupid. Yeah.
He's come out on record and say he's very impressed by Sancho.
That's what you would say to a player, and then you're like, oh, thanks very much, I love your hustle, that's why it's so hard to put you.
I think we're a fan of Sancho there a couple of weeks ago.
He was that week when he scored.
He liked him there, but he saw that highlight of him. It was like, oh, he looks good there.
No, I was saying, wouldn't it be great for Man United to have a player as dynamic as that? Although I wonder how much of the salary they're actually still paying for Sancho. Apparently, they are reluctantly considering a bid, very reluctantly, hawking these talents around Europe and then reluctantly accepting whatever bids they can flush out of the system. So we'll see. I think the Manchester United need money narrative is taking hold with that one. Tab of the morning to you. Ruben's Primal Screen. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Book Screen. Primal Screen. Manchester.
Yeah. That's great.
Did you get it? Aaron Breaks TV set in fury after Seagull's defeat. And heaven and hell. Harvey Elliott scored Liverpool's seventh straight Champions League win. Harvey Elliott was for sale? Was he one of the ones at the weekend?
He's curiously only played like an hour of Premier League football for Liverpool this season. Now, he was injured for a couple of months at the start of the campaign, but there's been lots of opportunity for him to play. He doesn't play that often, but he was very good against Brentford at the weekend. And he scores the winner last night, although be a heavily deflected winner. But it was his shot after all. What's even more promising for Liverpool is the form of Federico Chiesa, who's finally got fit enough to play games. He came on for Luis Diaz last night, and he could play across their front line, Ger.
Do you think he could play as a number nine?
He could do, yeah.
Really?
Might be not be his most effective position, but he could do it. And like, that's a guy who could get you half a dozen goals and even more points towards the tail end of the season and take you over the line. Remember how good he was at the Euros? The problem was that was 4 years ago. We just don't know if he's that player anymore because of all the injuries.
We say good morning to Philippe Auclair. Good morning, Philippe. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Good morning to you too.
Can we start with Monaco? I'm a Villa fan, so I'm slightly biased here. But
okay,
they hadn't played that well this calendar year, very early on in the year. But were you surprised by how well they actually played last night?
Yes, I was very surprised. I think you were quite polite to Monaco when you say that. It's not that they haven't been playing particularly well. They've played absolutely awful football. And it was not just the results. I mean, they were beaten by Montpellier just before this game against Aston Villa. And to be beaten by Montpellier is actually some kind of exploit. And more generally, you have the feeling that it's a team that is so fragile that every time that something goes against them, they just collapse. And I mean, it's not to say they haven't got quality. They've got some excellent players. They had a superb start to the season, by the way, when at one point we thought they would actually give PSG a real run for their money. But they, since October, late October, they've been terrible. And so I was very surprised. I was also surprised perhaps by the approach of Aston Villa. I thought that if Monaco could be put under the cosh a bit more physically than they were, they would actually wobble and they would be beaten. So I'm surprised, pleasantly surprised by Monaco, and I'm unpleasantly surprised by how Villa approached and played the game, because we all thought that Villa had some kind of... Well, I was getting back to some kind of consistency, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, the Villa bench last night, Jacob Ramsey was the of the outfield players, basically the old man. There was a lot of teenagers on it. So maybe the injuries got in Emery's head. He was very angry with them afterwards, which is unusual. He generally doesn't call them out, but he was specifically saying they weren't doing what I told them to do, which never is a great look.
Well... What an opportunity missed. I think that's what makes him so furious. Imagine with Villa winning, Villa basically would be, you know, Rolls-Royce road to the knockoff rounds. And that's not the case anymore. Anything can still happen. So, yes, it's extremely, extremely frustrating. I'm sure that Emery and his assistants would have spent a lot of time looking at recent Monaco performances and would have thought, oh, we can beat those guys. There's absolutely no problem. Now, is it the fact that it was a game that Monaco had to win in the context of the Champions League? Is it the fact that they felt that European nights are a bit different? But even in Europe, they had had their problems. You know, this is not a team. I mean, when I'm talking about Monaco, that has been firing on all cylinders by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they came to this game against Villa on the back of pretty bad defeats, both against Benfica at home, and you will remember the game against Arsenal as well, in which they fleetingly seemed to be offering something. And then as soon as Arsenal scored the first goal, that's it, they were gone. And I mean completely gone. So, yeah, I have to say it's a real surprise for me to have seen this result. I was genuinely expecting Villa to beat Monaco quite easily.